Hello and welcome to the Florida Institute of Certified Public Accountants podcast with Justin Thames, Director of Governmental Affairs for the FICPA. He is our profession's voice of advocacy with the Florida Legislature. And now it's time to hear from your host, Justin Thames.
Hi, I'm Justin Thames, Director of Governmental Affairs for the Florida Institute of CPAs, and welcome to our newest edition of our podcast series. I'm here today with Dominic Calabro, President and CEO of Florida Tax Watch. And Dominic is going to share with us a couple of big things that are going on right now at Tax Watch, and also tell us a little bit about his journey to being the President and CEO of Tax Watch. Dominic, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Doing great, Justin. And yes, you were asking me before. I've been fortunate that I'm one of the three officers at Tax Watch, the top officers, that have been recognized by Florida Trend as among the most influential business leaders in the state. First starting with our chairman, Senator Pat Neal, our chairman-elect, former U.S. Senator George Lemieux, and then myself. We were very, very fortunate that we were selected 2 years in a row, because really Florida Tax Watch has had a great impact over these past 40 years of saving taxpayer money, improving government accountability, and adding tremendous value to the taxpayers of Florida in very, very, many significant ways.
So Dominic, you've been part of Tax Watch most of your life, so to speak, and tell us kind of how you got into that, and tell us kind of where the organization has gone since your time with the leading the organization.
It's hard to believe how long, but it's a very, very different time. I started out just before coming to what was originally called the Citizens Council for Budget Research. In 1979, it was formed. I was working in the Florida Senate Ways and Means Committee on appropriations, as well as learning about finance and tax issues and concerns. The president at the time was former Senator Ken Plant. He and Phil Lewis, former Senate president, a Democrat and a Republican, really made sure that this was a very nonpartisan organization. And it's stayed true to its beginning throughout, nonpartisan in 1979 and as much nonpartisan today in 2019. But the organization was really built to help the state of Florida and the people of Florida realize more of the potential of what Florida could be, to make sure there's an organization that's both a guide dog, bird dog, watchdog, but never ever a lapdog. So it's looked at ways of being thrifty. It's identified ways you could be more accountable, more effective, and then works with other organizations to help ensure those good ideas and good practices and good recommendations are enacted. And we've got a great working relationship for almost nearly all those 40 years with the Florida Institute of CPAs and its volunteer leaders and its senior staff. We're blessed that and fortunate that Deborah Curry, your CEO, is a very active leader on our board of trustees, as well as you, Justin, very active with the work that we do here. And we work with other great organizations like Leadership Florida. I've been honored that you and I served. You chaired the audit committee and I chaired the finance committee. And so it's the way that Tax Watch has really been an incredible part of the fabric of Florida, helping to make many of its agencies more cost-effective, more accountable, and more impactful.
Yeah, you know, we've been fortunate to work with you all on numerous different initiatives over the years. It's been a great partnership. And, you know, you mentioned how Tax Watch really works to help make government more efficient. And you all have a really great program that you're celebrating next week. 30 years, I think, this program's been in existence. The Productivity Awards, I believe, used to be called the Davis Productivity Awards. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about that program and kind of what it means to taxpayers, or what it should mean to taxpayers and to the state of Florida.
You know, we started this 30 years ago at the encouragement of the former, founder of Winn-Dixie and co-founder of Tax Watch, J.E. Davis, of the Davis Winn-Dixie Davis family. He wanted us to create a program that, similar to what they had in their own company, that would encourage and reward the unsung heroes, the people in the trenches that are really making a difference. So through the years, we developed a program originally called Davis Productivity Awards. Then for many years, it was called the Prudential Productivity Awards. Now it's rebranded as the Tax Watch Productivity Awards in its 30th celebration this year. What it does is really three things. We identify, so we recognize, we reward the men and women that are making a difference in people's lives, that above and beyond the call of duty. And we try to replicate their outstanding excellence. So we begin to change the culture of governing so that government productivity is not an oxymoron. You really can make government more productive by creating an environment with leadership and great incentives to do that. And again, the more you put time and focus on recognizing people, you tend to get more of those good things. So through the years, the Tax Force Productivity Awards has championed billions of dollars of savings. Usually each year, several hundred million dollars out of a $90+ billion annual budget.
So what do some of these projects look like when you talk about working with the government agencies? Can you give us some examples of some of the savings that we see and some of the kind of efficiencies that are put in place?
Well, this year, for example, one of the top cash winners, TaxWatch helps give cash awards, plaques, and then a certificate. So the cash awards are the top winners. Mm-hmm. This year, one of the top cash winners is the Department of Health. That is the Refugee Health Program, which is responsible for ensuring newly arrived refugees that come to Florida receive both health assessments and appropriate vaccinations. That's so critically important, because if they don't get the vaccinations, not only their family, but communities could be very, very ill.
Healthcare savings costs, right?
Oh my goodness. Vaccinations, immunizations are one of the greatest return on investments and a core function of government to provide for the public safety and the public health. So that's something that they did. They in concert with the National Vaccines for Children program, and they actually helped produce a 40% savings. Another winner this year is the GPS team at FSU's Florida State University's Graduation Planning and Strategies Office. Within 2 years of FSU completion campaign, they had 344 students who had left college early and earned their diploma, plus an additional 774 students are actively supported in pursuit of their degree completion. So they're helping get kids graduate on time, more completion, and get to work and hopefully stay in Florida communities as well. So these are the kind of winners. We also have one where we recognize last year we had Hurricane Michael, just Category 5 storm, devastated Destin in the panhandle of Florida. So the judges this year, again, they're independent judges. They're men and women that really know what productivity is and government productivity. They recognize the Department of Financial Services for their extraordinary work of helping communities and people get their claims taken care of, bring back some normalcy of health and well-being and safety to the communities and to their personal lives. So the judge said that's phenomenal, and they recognize them. So thank goodness this latest storm that we just had didn't do the same thing as Michael did last year. But they're being recognized. So it's the beauty of this program really is also encompassed by a winner who's passed away now, but he kind of embodies what this is all about. His name is Jimmy Patrick. Jimmy Patrick is a quadriplegic. That, of course, means he did not have the use of his arms or his legs. And yet, despite that, he had that human spirit that he wanted to contribute, didn't want to sit back. He wanted to contribute, so he went to the state attorney in Jacksonville, Ed Austin, and said, "Mr. Austin, I would like to be of use. I want to contribute." So Mr. Austin thought, well, what is something that we're not doing that we could do that won't displace anybody, but we can put him to use? He came up with an idea, which now is commonplace, but back in the late 70s and 1980s, they had this program that would use telephonic equipment suited for him so he could call businesses and individuals that owed tax dollars and did so in a way that was least intrusive, but helped them get back, become fully tax-paying citizens. He helped collect $3 to $4 million. So what Jimmy Patrick did is fund a mission that was very important. They used technology that was innovative at the time, and he provided a tremendous amount of inspiration, not only to the office, but to thousands of people that got to understand his story. And we now have a program that other state attorneys can use. So it's just a wonderful way to check off all the boxes. A leader in government that saw the need, reacted positively, constructively, an individual who showed extraordinary character. And this, to me, what TaxWatch is helping government do, and that's create activities and programs that elevate, that absolutely elevate the human spirit and make the quality of life in Florida better and reduce the cost of living here as well.
So really, I mean, this really changes the mantra that I think a lot of the public has. government being inefficient and government, you know, wasting taxpayer dollars. You know, this is really showcasing those individuals who are inside government, and they really are making progress to make government more efficient and do a good job of being good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars. I think this dovetails really nicely into another government function. And you mentioned kind of what the governor and CFO Petronas had done during the recent hurricane and trying to help taxpayers and help make sure that government is operating efficiently, especially during times of, you know, state of emergencies. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got every 10 years or so, the Government Efficiency Task Force takes place. Mm-hmm. I know you've served on this task force mm-hmm. before, and really that the intent of that is to really discuss a lot of these proposals that come forward through the Davis Productivity Awards, mm-hmm. Or the TaxWatch Productivity Awards, mm-hmm. I should say. So we'll see that task force basically form back together mm-hmm. in the next, I don't know, a couple of months. So that'll be another opportunity for more efficiencies to be made within the government sector.
You know, I think it's really wonderful. I back both the current Chief Financial Officer, Jimmy Petronas, as well as the former immediate past CFO, Jeff Atwater, both said publicly, recently Petronas said it, CFO Petronas said it right here a couple weeks ago, but recognize that there's one reason that Florida is such a great state and great position. Our Constitution really restricts how you spend money, and it's really tight that you can't spend money that's not in the Treasury. Two, we have a lot of statutory laws, but telling the bonding agencies, Fitch, Moody's, Standard & Poor's, one of the three reasons why Florida is in much better shape than most other states and was able to cut taxes $1 billion or more when other states were raising taxes, because there's a group called Florida Tax Watch. No other state has a group quite like that, that actually offers suggestions, ways of doing things better, we hold them accountable. So that's the case where we are both a guide dog, bird dog, and watchdog. And so I think it's a great time. We're now going to be celebrating our 40th anniversary. This Productivity Awards program started 10 years after we got started, and I'm really proud of it. It's now in its 30th year. But TaxWatch is now in its 40th anniversary. We're going to host the December 2nd, 3rd, and 4th annual membership conference at the Breakers in Palm Beach, and it'll be a great, great program. But listen, we're really pleased that we have great volunteer leaders, incredible board members like yourselves and others that use the mission and purpose of building a stronger, better Florida through good fiscal policies, regulatory policies, and tax policies that make sense, that allow us to fund the core functions of government, but do so in ways that do not impede a healthy economy, that do not impede the responsible citizen that wants to pay his or her taxes on time in full.
So, you know, I know we work a lot with you on a lot of the tax issues. On the tax policy council that you have, we have some great members of ours that serve in some of those capacities. I think, you know, as we look at kind of the government efficiency and how we work on policy and issues like that, and you mentioned the Constitution, one of the big things that we have coming up that will have an impact on all of that is the census that we're about to go through. Mm-hmm. And how that is really going to have an impact on the type of leaders that we have that are going to come to the state once it changes a lot of for redistricting. We're going to go through that mm-hmm. process again. And you all have been talking a lot about, you know, how important it is to participate in the census the last couple of weeks. I know you've had a couple mm-hmm. of press conferences around the state and engaged some of the local leaders to help sure. get the word out and get people to mm-hmm. basically participate. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of that effort from TaxWatch, and talk to us kind of how you all kind of zeroed in on that being an initiative you wanted to take on as an organization?
Yes, Justin, I'll tell you, TaxWatch has been active with the census data going back to the late 1980s. Actually, right after Senator Connie Mack had gotten elected to the United States Senate in 1988, we had our annual meeting. He came there, spoke with then-Governor Bob Martinez. But he, working with Senator Bob Graham, former governor, the two of them working in a bipartisan manner, understood that we were using the decennial census data in 1980 to fund 132 programs of the federal government using old 8-9-year-old census data. And millions of people have moved to the state of Florida since then. So they had been working to try to get estimates annual estimates. Each April, the Census Bureau puts out annual estimates of population. So we knew how important the census is. So TaxWatch knew with 2020 census, we want to make sure we make Florida count.
So this is one of those make or break moments for Florida, because a lot of that federal funding, a lot of that revenue that we could be getting, if we don't participate in the census, we're really cheating ourselves and not really getting the due amount that we should be getting based on our size of population. It's essentially what the gist of this is.
Exactly. And TaxWatch is working with cities and counties and community leaders. And, you know, it's really not something that's a big top-down. It's going to be county by county, city by city, neighborhood by neighborhood, people who feel comfortable working within their local communities. We have to count every person, people that are in prison, students, every person that's here, okay? And the hardest population are going to be those that are migrants, those that are undocumented residents. They all have to be counted. And we not only counted, but absolutely fill out the forms correctly. And so we want to assist the census workers in doing that so that we make Florida count. In 2000, nearly 20 years ago, according to congressional testimony, Florida had the fourth highest undercount of all the states. And it, we undercounted by at least 201,000 people. That was possibly enough to maybe get another congressional seat that we could have had these past 20 years.
And that makes a big difference when we're going to Washington asking for, I don't know, hurricane relief or any other kind of relief that we need as it relates to you know, federal funding. I think everybody always talks about their fair share, and Florida really could miss out on an opportunity to get our fair share of what the federal government really should be sending to the states. I know a lot of people have maybe I won't say misinformation, but maybe some misunderstandings about this census and actually how that process takes place. Talk to me a little bit about the process itself. Mechanically, I have somebody come to my door. What are some of the things that they're going to be asking?
This time around, the census is going to be using the means of communicating we do today. There'll be emails. There'll be ways of electronically completing the forms, getting them out. Those will be done, and hopefully very quickly, so that the census workers can go after the more difficult demographics, the more challenging folks that are either not easy to count or afraid to be counted. You know, this, I want to make it very plain, this information cannot be used in any other manner by law, and so everyone is protected. But the most important thing is Florida, the reason why TaxWatch is so involved, currently Florida gets shortchanged because of our grants and aid program and the like from the federal government. Florida sends over $200 billion in taxes to the federal government. So it's not looking for a handout. We want to get not only our fair, we want to get our legal and fair share. So if we were to get the average amount, we're about the 49th or 50th state among the 50 states in our grants and aid, 132 programs that reimburse back to the states. If we got just the average amount, we would be getting $14 billion more per year. Do you think that would have a big impact on education, on healthcare, and economic development, road construction, protecting our environment, protecting ourselves against sea level rises? Those kinds of things are very, very important. So we believe in the year 2000, when we undercounted the 201,000 people, it cost $3 to $4 billion over the 10-year. If that happened this time, we're looking at maybe 350,000 undercount. That would translate to almost $8 to $10 billion over 10 years. Say an average, that's $800 million to $1 billion a year. Do you think that would help us in our budget each year? Absolutely. So why shouldn't we get and make sure we make Florida count?
100% agree. And it sounds like you all are doing a fantastic job of getting around the state, getting the message out. And I know that our members at the FICPA that are listening today, I know this is good information for them to have. And hopefully we can be helpful as we go along at the FICPA to continue to get some of that information out. We try to include some of your updates in our impact reports during the legislative session. We've got legislative session, by the way, is right around the corner, which I know you and your team are gearing up for. I know we've pushed out a lot of your budget tools. I think that's been a great tool for us at the FICPA and our members to be able to dig deeper into the budget numbers for the state. And you know, you talk about the money that we very well legally could be entitled to from the federal government if we do this census right. I look at maybe our budget, and we talk about how tight our budget constraint is because of how we have to have a balanced budget. Thank goodness we have to have a balanced budget.
Yes, absolutely.
But this really could be a game changer for some of those items that we're all interested in: healthcare, education, transportation, and infrastructure. Having some more flexibility because of the federal aid money or federal grant money that could be coming down the pipe really could change, literally change the face of our state. And we've got to start looking towards that future because population is only growing, third largest state in the country, population size. It's great to have a resource arm like you at a disposal to dig deep into these issues and help get solid data and analytical information out to our membership and the public. So we appreciate the time.
Great.
And we appreciate the collaboration that we have with Tax Watch. And, you know, before we leave, anything else you want to tell our members before we wrap up today?
Yes, I think do everything you can to work in your community to encourage making sure everyone counts. Tell your clients, your community, do everything that one can, because at the end of the day, doing this will make it better for all Floridians, and we will have more of the resources that we're lawfully and legally entitled to. One other thing, Justin, even if we were to count every single person on April 1st, 2020, because Florida, as you said, is such a large state and growing so quickly, we're going to have 3.5 million more residents. That's conservatively between 2020 and 2030, okay? Until that next census is going to be taken. The day they take the census, the next year, 5 years later, there's going to be millions of people to Florida that the funds, those grants and aid, will still be going to the states where they left. So even if we do a perfect count, which is impossible, but even if we do a perfect count, we're still going to be shortchanged. We're still going to be behind eight ball. So there's still other things that we hope we can do to not only make the census, make Florida count in the census, but also try to use annual estimates that each state, the census does for each different state, and try to apportion those funds based on the most current annual estimates of population, thereby helping to make sure that money goes to where Americans live, not where they once lived. So thank you very much for this opportunity, and we love the partnership Florida Tax Watch and the Florida Institute of CPAs have with your members and your volunteer leadership and your great staff.
Dominic, thanks again for being with us, and I'm glad you wrapped it up that way, because I've always told our members that we just try to make sure that they count in this political process. So the census is a great way to continue to make sure they do. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and the rest. And like I always say, we'll catch you next time.
Continue the conversation with the Florida Institute of Certified Public Accountants. Become a member and follow us on social media for today's trends and hot topics.